Greet you in the name of Jesus. Welcome you to the service this evening. Thank you for inviting us. I don't get an opportunity to go out too often. I'm pretty well tied down to home, but in the evenings it's not so big of a deal, I guess. There is something that God has laid on my heart years ago, before I ever knew what Mennonites were. And that is something that I would like to share with each of you tonight, something that is vitally important, something if you don't have, you better get, because you're going to need it, and you do need it. I'm so thankful that God, in His mercy, has worked in my life in this area. I trust that He will work in your life also. If we don't cultivate these things in our life, we're going to find out that we're not going to stand. The days are not getting any easier. The allurements that Satan has are getting more and more. The technology is getting to the point where you can just do about anything. And Satan has done all he can do, and he still is not satisfied. He's doing more yet to get our attention, to get us away from God, from His people. And he knows that he can do that. His battle is won. So tonight I want to look at Romans chapter 8, very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, I just want to read the last five verses, I guess it is. Romans chapter 8, you probably know it by heart, but I want to read it. Paul is speaking here. Paul is an authority on this because Paul knows what he's talking about. Paul has been through probably more than any one of us here have been through. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been left for dead. Many things happened to Paul. And yet this is what his testimony is, starting in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. That's what I want to look at tonight. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity that you have given us to speak of your word. I just pray now, God, that you would illuminate each heart that is here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would take these lips and make them say what you want them to say. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for each one that is here tonight. Thank you, Father, that you are working with us as we work with you against the kingdom of darkness, so that the kingdom of light can be exalted and you can be honored and glorified. We just commit the service to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. I was not brought up in the plain circles, in the conservative circles. The place where I was brought up was a lot more conservative than a lot of Mennonite churches today. But there's a lot of teachings that I did not have, teachings that were new to me. I know when I first started courting my wife, there were things that amazed her. I mean, she was astonished. She asked me, at the time I was working on appliances, and still am, but at the time she asked me, well, what are you going to do with your life? And I said, well, as soon as I turn 21, I plan to enter the state police academy. I want to be a state policeman. And she said, what? I said, well, yes. What is wrong with that? She said, well, Mennonites don't do that. I said, well, Bible characters do. She said, no. I said, yeah. I said, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man of war. And God just poured out his blessings upon it. Yeah, but she said, you won't find that in the New Testament. Well, I was ready to give her up instead of giving up what I believed. How easy is it for you to give up what you believe? And so we talked about that. And I searched the scriptures, and I was determined that I was going to prove to her that what I believed was right. But you know, The only place I could prove what I believed was right was out of the Old Testament. And when I came to the New Testament, the scripture says, love your neighbors. My kingdom's not of this world. And so you see, what I did is I developed biblical convictions. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, Paul says, I'm persuaded that nothing's going to turn me away from Jesus Christ. Well, if you're persuaded that nothing's going to turn you away from Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're going to have biblical convictions. Biblical convictions is something we don't see very much anymore in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in the true church, we do. But in the nominal church, I don't think you can find hardly enough convictions to fill the eye of the needle. People don't have them. They can just do whatever anyone else does. But beloved, tonight we need to develop biblical convictions. I'm not talking about opinions, I'm talking about convictions. And a biblical conviction is a biblical principle or truth that directs our thoughts and actions, no matter what it may cost us. Do you have any biblical convictions tonight? Are you willing to lay down your life for those convictions? I was at a place one time when there was evangelistic services, and this place, the preacher set up behind there for some reason, and the evangelist was preaching, and he was talking about how the husbands should love their wives. And he looked around, he said, brother, and he mentioned them, would you give your life for your wife? There was no answer. So he waited. He said, well, I'll have to think about that. Well, he didn't love his wife like Brother Berge does. You see, many people want to go to heaven. They want to live for Jesus, so they say. But they're not willing to have convictions that will carry them through. A strong biblical conviction is dynamic. It throbs with life. The joyful embracing of that conviction brings great glory to God and to the joy and joy to the person who is holding that conviction. I know what it's like to have convictions. I know what it's like to not go along with the crowd. I know what it's like to sometimes have to stand alone because people don't understand. I mean, the common terminology today is, well, everybody's doing it. No, everybody isn't doing it. Old Elijah, good old Elijah, just after he won the battle, killed those prophets of Baal. And then old Jezebel said, I'm going to get his head. I'm going to have his head. And Elijah got afraid. He ran. And he said, God, why don't you just take me home? I don't want to lose my head. Oh, listen, I'd rather lose my head than keep my heart. And that's what will happen if you have convictions tonight. You may lose your head, but bless God, you can keep your heart. And so Elijah said to God, why don't you just take me home? Everybody is falling down to Baal. Everybody is worshiping Baal. Oh, what a pity party that was. Have you ever felt that you're the only one who has convictions tonight? Have you thought that maybe you're the only one who is serving God? Maybe you're the only one who takes a stand against a certain evil? Well, didn't take God long to straighten out Elijah. He said, listen, Mr. Elijah, I have 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. So we're not alone. But I'll tell you, it's getting to be a scarce thing, biblical convictions in our lives. Some of the convictions that we should hold dear to us is non-resistance. I know I wasn't taught non-resistance. That was a hard one for me to swallow. Non-resistance. Because where I was brought up, well, shouldn't maybe say this, but it was a holiness church. People, every time there was an altar call, it seemed like the same people came up. They lost the victory. And they had to come up and get the victory again. And this preacher made the statement, what we ought to do with some of you people that can't keep the victory is when you come up here and you get the victory, we should just shoot you in the back of the head, then you won't lose it anymore. That's kind of bringing up my head. So you see why it was pretty hard for me to understand what non-resistance is all about. My dad proudly served in World War II. You think I didn't have to have some conviction when I talked to him about my stand I was taking against going to war, against fighting? You need to know. You know, I'm so thankful in one way that I wasn't brought up in the conservative church, because I know what I believe. And it's a blessing when you can be brought up there. But listen, if you are brought up in a conservative setting, you still need to know what you believe. You still need to develop biblical convictions. Biblical convictions. I'm not talking about preferences tonight. I'm talking about biblical convictions. Things that you would not give up. You would give your life up before you gave these up. The headship veiling. That's something that we see as going by the wayside. Oh, God didn't really mean that for our generation, for our day. That was for back in Paul's day. Well then, if that was for back in Paul's day, so was everything else that was written back there. Oh no. If it does us good, then we'll claim that. But if it causes us to be a little bit peculiar, well, why don't we want to be peculiar people? The scripture says God's people are going to be peculiar. I don't mind being peculiar. I'm not talking about queer. I'm talking about being peculiar. We studied in Sunday school lesson this morning that we're separated from the world, but we're also separated unto God. And so we are a peculiar people. People don't understand why someone would give up the pleasures that Satan has to offer them. The message this morning was Satan's apples. Let me tell you what. Every one of Satan's apples has worms in them. They're poisonous worms. They're not like the ones that we drink in our cider. They don't care whether there's worms in there when they run them through the cider press. You drink worms and you like it. But let me tell you something. When you eat the devil's apple, oh, I'll tell you, the first couple of bites are terrible delicious. And that prodigal son, he was having a whale of a time in that foreign land, that faraway country. But I'll tell you what. As he kept biting into that apple, oh, he hit a bitter spot. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening to people today who don't have biblical convictions. They can't walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their walk depends on what is popular. Their walk depends on what other people do. Headship veiling. That's an important aspect. I wasn't brought up with the headship veiling. We just considered, or at least I was taught, that the hair is given to a woman for a covering. But it brings us into a great predicament if we take that stand, because I'd have to shave my head. And I don't want to shave my head. I'm thankful for the hair I have, and I have a lot of it. And I like it. It keeps me warm. I don't need to wear a hat. But God has biblical principles set up for us, and He expects us as His children to adhere to them. Baptism. We make a promise when we're baptized that I'm going to reject the world. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to turn back. Those vows God takes seriously. He says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. Marriage vows. Listen. Oh, do you have convictions on your marriage vow that you made? Yes, I believe we are lacking so much. There are educated people. Listen, if this is what education does to you, I don't want it. But there are educated people who say, well, now the Bible says, in this certain circumstance, it's all right to put away your wife. It's all right to put away your husband. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says in Luke chapter 16 and 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, what's he do? Committeth. That means continually. Committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her that is put away, committeth adultery. Listen, we need some biblical principles. We need to know where we stand on marriage. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't read them because I don't like to put trash in my head. But there's a lot of books written and giving leeway for divorce and remarriage. They tell me that the statistics between the world's divorce and remarriage and the church's divorce and remarriage is about the same. Oh, what a horrible testimony that is to God. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Because we don't take God's word seriously. convictions are lifelong affirmations of biblical truth that help us and keep us walking in the ways of God. They're important. Don't ever let anybody tell you that convictions are not important. Convictions are going to carry us through with the help of Jesus Christ. And it's He who gives us those convictions. We don't just dream up these convictions. How do we get these convictions? We want to look at that. Biblical convictions are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're lived out in our lives, glorifying God, filling us with joy and contentment. And how do we get them? He doesn't just... You're probably familiar with computers. He just doesn't link us up to Him somehow and just download convictions upon us. No, we get convictions by getting sincere to God. We search His Word. And we believe His Word. We obey His Word. And the more we search His Word, the more we obey Him and His Word, it develops convictions in our lives. People don't want to do that. They want to be spoon-fed. They want the preacher to tell them what to do. And if they don't like what the preacher says, they'll go someplace where they do like what the preacher says. This is a very dangerous thing that we're facing today. Oh, I'll tell you, you take a stand against sin and evil, and you preach biblical convictions, your church house probably won't be very full. People will bypass it. People are not interested many times in going the way of the cross. Oh, they want the easy way. Well, the way is easy. The only thing is we just can't see the future, because if we would see the future, we would realize that the scripture says in 11:28 of Matthew, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The devil sure isn't. Did you ever hear anyone at the end of their life say how they really enjoyed serving the devil? How he was so good and kind to them? How he has prepared a wonderful place for? Oh no, you don't hear that. That's because he doesn't do that. Satan hates you. He hates me. He hates the Word of God. He hates the preaching of the Word of God. He hates people with biblical convictions because he knows they're a threat to him. Oh, I'll tell you, if he can get rid of them... That's what's wrong with America today. They say the Christians, if we could get rid of the Christians, then we could have a peaceable place. They don't understand. Unless we have biblical convictions, we're not going to stand. Many young people, especially today, are fleeing the teachings that they have been given. They're teaching the restraints that their parents have put upon them. They're saying, I don't want that anymore. Not just young people, older people too. Parents are leaving the way that they once professed to walk in, that they once told us that this is the only way. They're leaving now, following their children. Why? Why are these children leaving? Why are these parents leaving? Why do people leave the way of God and go the way of the world? I'll tell you why. They don't have any convictions. They didn't develop convictions. They didn't care enough what God's Word said to develop convictions. To them, convictions are like a wet blanket at a party. You know, sometimes you have if you're a person of convictions, you aren't going to be too welcome at a lot of parties, are you? Actually, if you're a person of convictions, you're going to be careful what kind of parties you go to. Well, convictions are somewhat like the white lines and the yellow lines on the road. They won't take you to heaven. They're there to help you. They're there to guide you. Those yellow lines, you can cross them if you want to. You don't have to stay on your side of the yellow line. Those guide rails that are along the road, you don't have to. You can run into them if you want to. You can try to push them out of the way. They'll move if you hit them hard enough. That sign that says, caution, bridge out ahead. People won't believe it. I read of one sign where the other side of the sign said, so you didn't believe me, or so you didn't believe it. People don't believe. People don't believe that God is serious about sin. People think that He just loves everybody, which He does. And He's a good daddy, which He is. And everybody, I mean, He's just going to bring everybody to heaven. I talked to or listened to a Muslim woman tell me that she's going to heaven when she dies. Well, I don't know. There must be more than one. I only found one in the Bible. And she hasn't met the qualifications for that. She does not believe in Jesus Christ as her personal friend and Savior. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Well, listen. Let me show you an example in the Scriptures of what convictions will do. I'm not going to turn to it because I don't know why time goes so fast. It just does. But we're going to look at an example that has been given to us in the Scriptures. There was three boys, and you know who I'm talking about. We find them in Daniel. They had a conviction. They had convictions. What were their convictions? Their convictions were that there's only one God. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and not bow down to any other. But the king says one day, listen, when you hear all the music playing, when you see the rock and rolling going, I want everybody to fall down and worship my image. I want to be honored. I want to be exalted and lifted up. Sounds like modern day preachers, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And so, these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, well, we're not doing that. Well, someone comes up to them, one of their good friends comes up to them and says, well, now listen, why don't you just reason a little bit? You know, you don't have to bow down the whole way. Just make it look like you're bowing down a little bit. I mean, just like I walk, I guess. Just bow down a little bit. And that you'll be accepted then. They said, no, sir. No, sir. If we ever stood straight, when those instruments start playing, we're going to be as straight as can be. I mean, there's not going to be any question in anybody's mind whether we're going to fall down and worship this image or not. Oh, listen. It didn't matter to them whether they were throwing it. It didn't matter if they heated the furnace 14 times hotter than it was wanted to be heated. It made no difference to them. It didn't matter whether, I mean, their convictions were so solid and so strong that they said, if God doesn't deliver us, we'll just get there quicker. Well, listen, that heat, even though he turned it up 7 times hotter than it was wanted to be heated, that furnace, that heat from that furnace was not hot enough to melt their convictions. How much heat does it take to melt your convictions tonight? Would you stand up for that? Would your convictions carry you through something like that? Listen, you better think of it seriously, because one of these days, if God tarries, we're going to be facing things that we didn't dream we'd face. We're going to find out that this country isn't so free after all. We're going to find out that people don't love us like we think they do. We're going to need to take a stand. We need to take a stand now. We need to develop our convictions now, not when the time comes that we need them. Oh, listen, never underestimate the power of convictions in your life. God uses that. It brings honor and glory to Him when He sees people who are willing to live for Him, who are willing to take a stand. He was honored and glorified in Paul's life. Paul wasn't willing to give up. He said, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, I have no inkling of turning back. I mean, they already killed me once, they thought, left me for dead. What do I have to turn back to? And I'll tell you, people of conviction realize that there's nothing to turn back to. All there is to keep going forward. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God bless them. I'll tell you, they're good examples. Listen, how's your convictions when you go to the restaurant, or don't you go to the restaurant here? We go to the restaurant once in a while. I like to take my wife out once in a while to the restaurant. What do you do when it comes time to pray for your food, or don't you pray for it? Listen, if you don't have any convictions, you'll do like most of the other people do. You'll do like the pigs do. You'll just start in. You know, someone needs to be thanked for that food, and God is the one who wants thanked for that food. And if you don't have enough of convictions to pray for over your food, ask God to bless your food and sanctify it in front of people, you're not going to stand when the persecution comes. I'm not ashamed to pray. We pray audibly when we ask God to bless our food. I don't know why we have to pray silently. I'm not ashamed. People aren't ashamed to take the name of the Lord in vain. I'm not ashamed to give Him glory. But that doesn't come unless we have convictions in our life. Holding biblical convictions can cost us our life. It costs people in the scriptures that we read. We could name a lot of them tonight. It cost their lives. They were sawn asunder. Hebrews 11 is full of those kind of people who it cost their lives because they had convictions, because they're not willing to back down. What are your convictions? Do you really have any tonight? I'm sure there's people in this audience tonight who have convictions. Maybe more convictions than I have. But convictions are something that should continue to grow. They're something that should continue to be cultivated. And as we learn new truths in the Scripture, our convictions even become stronger yet. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, I tell you, holding on to Daniel's convictions when he was facing the lions in the den. Holding on, he wasn't going to back down. You know, he could have just as easy pulled the window blinds down and escaped the lion's den. But oh no, it was the principle of the thing. He said, listen, I serve the God of heaven. I serve the God that made the lions. Why should I be afraid to face the lions? He didn't know what was going to happen. Those lions were hungry. I mean, they were looking for a good meal to eat. And if you don't believe me, you just read on where they threw all the families in that tried to get Daniel in trouble. And they devoured them. It says, even before their bodies hit the ground, their bones were all broken. That's a fierce bunch of lions. Now, I wouldn't want to face a lion. But listen, I believe I would rather face a lion than face an angry God. I know that. Now listen, that's what's happening today. God is angry at sin. God is angry at people who will not take a stand against sin, who will not stand up for Him after what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has given us everything that we have. He has given us everything He could give us. And then if we're not willing to stand up for Him, He's not going to be happy with us. He's going to deal with us. Well, I see I don't have time to touch near any of these, but what are your convictions about music? That's a sore note. I never did like this cat screaming music that they call music today. I don't call that music. I like the good hymns, the ones that are full of meat, the ones that lift up your soul, the ones that make you feel like you just want to even become closer yet to God. That's the kind of songs I like to sing. Me and my CD player in my truck when I'm going to jobs, we just get into a little competition sometimes. We try to see who can sing the loudest. Maybe that's why I can talk loud. Because I sing loud. Because I enjoy singing. Why? Because it brings joy to my heart. Oh, I'll tell you, I love those songs. I thank God for the ones who have written those songs. They had convictions in their lives. What about it? What about your music? What about the videos? I don't know if you allow videos here or not. I would be very, very careful. That's something that we don't. I guess in our church they do have some, but it's something that I would discourage or encourage to consider very, very seriously. There's just really not a good, there's not a lot of good on much of anything that the world has to offer to us. A computer. That's getting to be a dangerous thing. You better have some convictions when you get on that computer. I don't know if you allow it here or not. Do you allow it here? You better have some convictions when you get on that. Well, I'll tell you. You know who owns and operates that computer? Same one that owns and operates the TV set. TV set could have been used for good in God's kingdom, but the devil got a hold of it. He owns and operates it. And he makes sure that there's enough stuff on there to distract people. What are your convictions about going to church? What is it that can distract from you to keep you from the house of God? They tell me, I don't know, I don't remember that far back, but my mother told me that I had gone to church ever since I was 2 weeks old. It was something that was important to my parents Parents, is that important to you tonight? Are you ingraining that into your children? The church is important. When there's a meeting, it's important that we be there. Many people are not. In fact, when I was growing up, I'm not as old as Brother Berkey, but when I was growing up, they didn't have prime time or whatever it is. I never grew up with a TV, so I don't know. We didn't have it. But they say that prime time now is during church services. But back when I was growing up, when in my younger years, they tell me that they wouldn't think of putting prime time on Wednesday night. They knew that was church night. People wouldn't be home watching their television. They knew that they couldn't put the football game on Sunday night because people would be in church worshiping God. People had convictions. Today, it doesn't take that. If there's something a little bit more interesting than what there is going on at church, why, they just skip church. Listen, I tell you, we need to develop some convictions if that's our problem. We're not going to stand. Satan, you think he's going to let you go at that? He's going to keep working on you, keep breaking down whatever convictions you may have until he gets you to the place where nothing matters anymore. There's a lot of other things, too, that I could mention tonight. I don't want to mention them. We're running out of time. But are you convinced that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit works together and continues to work together to save us from the penalty of sin? Do you believe tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin? And that's a continual thing. Well, some people think that once they get saved, then they can do whatever they want to do. Listen, I find in my life that my life gets corrupted if I don't have the blood of Jesus Christ washing me continually. Oh, that's something. And the Word of God washing me continually. We need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to spend time in prayer and in seeking God's face for our lives. Yes? Are you convinced tonight that the church body is the body of Christ and that it's important for us to gather together and to worship Christ? What are your convictions about that? I just heard recently of a man who used to preach in a conservative setting like this, who now says that Sunday is just a regular other day. It's just another day. You don't need to respect Sunday anymore, because in the Old Testament time, on the seventh day, God rested, and the reason he rested was not because he was tired, but because he was done with his work. And now in the New Testament time, Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled righteousness, and now his work is done. And so we can just do whatever we want on the Lord's Day. Many people are doing that. Listen, I don't have a problem if it's an emergency. But many people are desecrating the Lord's Day. God gave it to us for rest for our bodies. And people, it shows what their spiritual attitude is when they do whatever they want to on the Lord's Day. Go shopping. Go to the restaurant and eat. Whatever they do. Like I said, there are emergencies. But I'll tell you, if they happen every Sunday, there's something wrong. We need to develop some deep biblical convictions against these things. Did I say it keep you out of heaven? I don't know. I don't know if it will or not. If it's willful disobedience, it will. Scripture tells us a long list of those things that are not going to enter into heaven. God expects us to be like that majestic oak tree. Firm, stable, staunch. Oh, you can run a vehicle into a staunch, big oak tree, and it doesn't hurt the tree any. It might demolish the car. But that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be staunch and firm. He doesn't want us to be like James says, tossed and driven with the waves of the sea, and don't take our stand on anything. Whatever seems appealing, whatever everybody else is doing, we will do that too. But listen, are you convinced tonight that your decisions that you make, especially as parents, the attitudes that you have against or towards, I should say, the church and towards God's people, are you convinced tonight that that's going to have a great impact on your children and on your grandchildren? Listen, what's your grandchildren going to do if you have no convictions tonight? If you don't take a stand against sin and against evil, What are they going to do? Where are they going to end up? Listen, we need to be convinced. We need to be convicted that marriage is a lifelong thing. And listen, let me tell you something that's happening in the, well, I don't know if it's the conservative churches, but it's the ones that have drifted away. They're teaching now that, go ahead, get married, put that little ring on your finger. The world needs to see that you're married. Who said that? Listen, if you don't act like you're married, there's a problem in your life. You don't need a little ring. I never needed one. And I get into a lot of homes. And most of the homes I get into, there's just women there. I never needed a ring yet to show that I was married. Scripture says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays, nays. Let your life be consistent. Let your life show forth. It's just another way the devil's creeping in. It won't be long until there's more things in. Until there's more things come in the church. Why? Because people don't have convictions. They say, oh, well, we never were taught about that. We didn't know about that. Well, listen, how do you think you learn it? The preacher can't give you convictions. Your parents can't give you convictions. You have to get your convictions by reading the Word of God. By praying to Him. By communicating with Him and seeking what His will is. And listen, if you want to please God more than anything else, oh, I'll tell you, you'll be a man and woman of conviction. You'll be a man and a woman who will be stable in their Christian life. They won't be rocked and ruled by what the world has to offer. Those things that Satan offers to them, they won't be appeasing and appealing to them at all. It'll look like dirt to those who have convictions. Are your affections put on those things that are above and not on the things on the earth beneath here? Are you convinced that all sin is sin? You know, people try to tell us it was a little white lie. No, there's no little white lie. A lie is a lie. Sin is sin. God said that all sin is going to be barred from heaven. There's nothing little in God's sight. Are you convinced of that tonight? Many people aren't. They think God's going to let things slide because He wants everybody in heaven, which He does. God is serious. You think God allowed His Son to go through everything He went through only to let us continue in sin that grace might abound? Uh-uh. He said in Matthew, His name shall be called Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people. Not in their sins, but from their sins. Yeah, He'll save you while you're in sin, but He'll save you from sin. And I'll tell you what. We need people tonight who are convinced, who have convictions, that when God calls them, they say, here am I. Like old Samuel said, here am I, Lord. What is it that you want? We'll be willing to do whatever He asks us to do. How do you develop biblical convictions? Well, first of all, we must be absolutely convinced that God requires that in our lives. That what God says He wants in our life, we have to be convinced that He's serious. A lot of people don't believe what God says. They don't believe His Word. They try to say that, well, there was an error in the translation, and I had an atheist, he calls himself an atheist man, who pointed out 22 different contradictions in the Scripture. I said, no, wait a minute. He said, I thought I'd ask you because you seem to know somewhat about the Bible. And I said, well, you just go ahead and tell me what they are. And so he started listing them, and he said, well, I'm only going to give you one or two. And he gave me one or two, and I ended up with 22. I said, you know what? There's no contradiction in the Bible. You just need to read it in its context. And that's where people are today. Well, the Bible really doesn't say what it means. You think an almighty, all-wise, all-knowing God can't tell us what He thinks? The audacity that people have to say, well, God really didn't mean what He said. Yes, He does mean what He says. And He's going to hold us to what He says. His Word is going to judge us in the final day. Well, we must ask God every time we read His Word to stamp it deeper into our hearts. Oh, God. And when we sin, you know, I didn't say we're going to sin. But there's a, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John, if any man sin, doesn't say since you're going to sin, says if any man sin, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. who is the propitiation for our sins, not ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And so if we sin, listen, we need to run to Christ for forgiveness. We need to let Him be our advocate. But listen, we need to develop convictions so that we don't sin again. You know, sin is a transgression against God. He's not honored and glorified when His people sin. It causes, like David did when he sinned with Bathsheba. You know what it did? It caused the heathen to blaspheme the name of God. And I wonder how much tonight the name of God is being blasphemed, the name of Jesus Christ is being blasphemed, because people who call themselves Christians have no convictions. They live like the rest of the world. They serve the devil. And yet they call themselves Christians. I wish they would change their name. Must God put up with this? How long is He going to put up with this? Well, we need to also realize that God expects His children to live by His Word. It's His Word that He has given to us, and we are so blessed tonight because we have the Word of God. We don't have to do like they do in some countries, pass it around to each other, and they're so hungry for that. Well, Satan doesn't want us to enjoy the Word of God. I'm convinced tonight, church people say, you know, I don't get anything out of the Word of God. The Word of God is so boring. Well, I'll tell you why it's boring. It's because you don't know the author. You get acquainted with the author. I read a story of a young lady who met a young man one time, and they got to talking, and they seemed to be liking each other. And the man says, I guess before they introduced themselves, the man brought up a certain book, and the young lady says, well, you know what, I did try to read that book, but I found it rather boring. And he said, well, I'm so sorry to hear that, because I'm the author. And she really had a liking for this young man. And so she went back home and she took that book and she read it through from cover to cover. And she went back to him and said, oh, you know, that book was so interesting. Well, what made the difference? She knew the author. And I would have to agree with one of the brothers who I appreciate. And I appreciate all of my brothers. But one I'm thinking of who told me just recently, he's convinced that the majority, or he might not have said majority, but he said many people in the conservative churches have never been born again. And you know, in my observations, I have to come to the same conclusion. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. But I do believe many times that people go forward or whatever, raise their hand or whatever, to accept Jesus Christ, and they've never counted the cost. They don't know what it's going to cost them. They do it because their friends have done it. They do it because mom and dad wants them to do it. We did not push our children to accept Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work to do. Listen, when the Holy Spirit convicts a person, I know what it was like in my life. When He was convicting me, there was something in my throat that's never been there since. I couldn't swallow. I don't know what it is. Conviction, I guess. We need some teaching on conviction perhaps too. But something in there, and I'll tell you what, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that went away. It's never been there since. That's the kind of conversions we need to have, where people know that they got saved. You know, God wants us to know when He does a saving work in our lives. There's no reason why we have to go around not knowing whether we're born again, because the Bible tells us that you'll know. When God reigns in your heart, when He lives in your heart, you'll know it. You won't have to hope that you're saved. You won't have to wish that you're saved. You'll know that you're saved. You'll know that if Jesus Christ comes now, I'm going to meet Him in the air, because everything's clear between me and Him. This happens because we develop convictions in our life. And we develop convictions in our life because we love Jesus Christ. We want to serve Him. We're not willing to go the way that everybody else goes. But we have determined to live differently than other people. We must be assured that just as biblical convictions keep and carry and preserve men and women of old, they're going to keep us also. The same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, is going to keep us, just like He kept the Apostle Paul. Convictions is something we can't afford not having. It's something that just grieves my heart when I see the way the churches are going. One after another, leaving the principles. Listen, I think, and I'm talking from someone who came from the outside in. I know, people tell me we all came from the outside. Yeah, we did. But I'm not talking about, I'm talking about culturally. People don't know what they have. The conservative people, the Mennonite people, don't know what they have. It's beautiful. It's the closest thing. I told my wife many times, this is the closest thing to what I see that the Bible is teaching. Yes, there's improvements we can make, of course. But I've been to a number of different churches. I've been members of a number of different churches. The first church I was a member of, I had to leave it because they called in a pastor that was divorced and remarried. Did everyone else leave? No, I was the only one that left. My parents didn't even leave. I had a conviction that it wasn't right for a man to live with another woman, with another man's woman, wife, as long as he was living. It's not popular. You won't be, if you want to be popular, don't develop biblical convictions because you won't be popular. But I'll tell you what, you'll be safe. Oh, you'll be safe and you'll be available for God to use. He wants people He can depend on. Person who has no convictions or very few convictions, God can't depend on them. They might be there, they might not be there. The church can't depend on them. They might be there, they might not be there. Something more interesting comes up, they'll be there. What's your convictions about your money? Is it your money or is it God's money that He allowed you to earn? Are you careful what you do with the money that God has given to you? There's a lot of different things, a lot of different areas. And I see, I think you said 8 o'clock you usually leave out. Is that right? Well, I don't want to. There's school children here. I don't want to tarry. But I do want to stress the utmost importance of having convictions. Church after church. It's just heartbreaking. We see churches that used to be conservative. People who used to take a stand, who once had a testimony, at least they could get up and testify that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where are they? They have gone the way of the transgressor. They say, well, you know, those things weren't really necessary that we were taught. Yeah, they are necessary. As I said, many things that we are taught in the plain circles here like this aren't going to take us to heaven. But I'll tell you what, through the power of Jesus Christ, they'll help us stay on the straight and narrow. I tell our people at church, we don't make rules up. God never made rules up and regulations to make your life miserable. He made them up to make it easier for us. If we could just see that. But Satan doesn't want us to see it that way. He wants us to see the fruit that he has. And he shines it up. He polishes it up really nice. And we have to admit, his fruit looks really nice. It smells good many times until it's been around a while and it stinks. I mean, Satan doesn't have a very good reputation. The best he can offer to us is a drunk in the gutter. The cancer-filled people, because they were drinking, cirrhosis of the liver, lung cancer. This is the best he can offer. He says, this is the best I can give you for serving me, not Jesus. Oh, Jesus said, you remain true and faithful to me. I have a wonderful, wonderful gift laid up in store for you. Eternal life. And as someone said, I believe someone said it here tonight, if I remember, eternal life starts right now. We're in it right now. But, you know, we can fall away. Yes, we can. We can decide, no, they say, no man can pluck you out of his hand. That's true. No man is great enough to pluck us out of Christ's hand. But listen, he never said that we can't turn around. He never said that we can't leave. And you know, with the devil putting the pressures on us and the pleasures and the amusements that are in the world today, many people have decided, listen, I'd rather have a little bit more enjoyment. I would rather have a little bit more fun before I get serious before God. And that's all the devil wants. Just get our attention off of Jesus Christ. But listen, when we have developed convictions, oh, the devil can bring to us all of his allurements. And it looks like the husks that the old prodigal son had to eat down in the pig pen. Listen, when we develop biblical convictions in our life, what Satan has to offer looks like hog slop. We aren't going to spend time in that. Not when we know that there's an eternal glory waiting for us. You know, God, it must be something. I'll tell you what. He went 2,000 years ago. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. Can you imagine? If a carpenter down here on earth spent 2,000 years building a house, can you imagine what that would be like? Now you get Jesus on the carpenter crew. Oh, I just can't imagine. I have not seen nor ear heard. Now, I know it says, but it hath entered into, neither hath entered into heart of the man the things that God prepared for those. Yeah, but he said unto you, it hath been revealed. Well, it might have been just a little bit. But I'll tell you, none of us know the full revelation of what heaven is going to be like. Just to be with Jesus. Just to be separated from the very power of sin. Just to know that once we're safe in glory, oh, then there is eternal security. There is unconditional eternal security once we're entered into the gates of heaven. But here on this earth, we need to continue by the word of God. We need to continue to develop godly principles in our life, convictions in our life. We need to allow God to do those things in our life. You know, when I get to heaven, I think, I don't know how much time I'll spend visiting, but one of the things I think I'll do is I'll go up to Mr. Paul the Apostle and say, listen, Mr. Paul, what do you think? How do you feel about all the beatings you got? How do you feel about how people treated you when you became a Christian? I mean, they really looked up to you when you were working against the Christians. You were really someone special. But after you started serving Jesus Christ, how did you feel about the way that people treated you? You know, I think he's going to say, oh, enjoyed every minute of it. Why? Because I counted it joy to suffer persecution for the name of Christ. And listen, that's what biblical convictions will do in our life. It'll cause us to joy, to count it a joy to suffer for the name of Christ. I'll tell you, I trust that this will be a challenge to each one of us, that we will not turn back, we will not give up. It doesn't matter what people do who used to be on fire. They may even have been a wonderful preacher. They may have been the cause of many people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but listen, if they don't remain true and faithful, don't follow them. Follow the Word of God. Allow Him to develop deep biblical convictions in your life. This will carry us through. Jesus Christ is looking for men and women of deep biblical convictions. May God bless you.